question titling the lesson this morning is one that does not raise a very pleasant subject, to say the least. Are you, am I, better than the devil? I think you'll see in the course of the lesson why I would ask a question such as that. And it ought to be thought-provoking to us as we strive to live as we should according to God's word in this world. Are you better than the devil? Of course, the Bible depicts the devil and his demons as the worst of the worst. The Bible, as a matter of fact, has Jesus saying that the devil is a liar and the father of lies. He was a murderer from the beginning in John 8, verse 44. And beyond that, we have stories of demon possession in the Bible that give us some idea of how bad, how mean, how cruel the devil can be. He is utterly pathological. As a matter of fact, we have a description of a demon-possessed boy and how he was treated by the demon who possessed him in Mark, the 9th chapter, verses 17 through 22. Let me just read that passage to give you an impression of how cruel the devil and his demons actually are. This is Mark, the 9th chapter, verses 17 through 22. The father of this boy approaches Jesus and asks for help. And the father describes the boy as suffering in this manner from the demon who possessed him. And one of the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought you my son, possessed with a spirit which makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it dashes him to the ground, and he foams at the mouth, and grinds his teeth, and stiffens out. And I told your disciples to cast it out, and they could not do it." And then in verse 20, after Jesus' comment, it says, "And they brought the boy to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit threw him into a convulsion, and falling to the ground, he began rolling about and foaming at the mouth." So you can see from that scenario how terrible the devil is. He just wants to hurt people, it would seem. He seems to delight in that. Another description we have of demon possession, in this instance, in the case of the Gerasene demoniac, and it says, "And they came to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gerasenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him, and he had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one was able to bind him any more, even with a chain, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been torn apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, and no one was strong enough to subdue him. And constantly, night and day, among the tombs and in the mountains, he was crying out and gashing himself with stones." Luke's account indicates that he had not worn clothing for a long time. That's a very pitiful picture, but it gives you an idea of how cruel and dastardly Satan is. With all this in mind, we might ask ourselves, am I? Are you better than the devil? Now, most people would think that anyone who asked that sort of question would be crazy or would be jesting. And they might even be offended and outraged and view the question as an insult, since most people could not imagine themselves even approaching the wickedness of the devil. However, it is worth giving more serious consideration to this question. It might help us to think about what we need to aspire to be spiritually, because some people really set their sights pretty low. As a matter of fact, they might set them so low that it turns out, when they think about it, they're no better than the devil. So, how might people be no better than the devil? Well, for instance, some might think that they are better than the devil because they believe in God. Now, believing in God is good, but that alone does not make them better than the devil. You know why? Because we're told in James, the 2nd chapter, verse 19, that even the demons believe. So in James 2, verse 19, we read that it says, "You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder." or tremble, I believe, as the King James Version puts it. So people should not depend solely on believing in God to save them. That's what a lot of people think. Oh, I believe in God. They just pick the lowest rung of the ladder, the lowest level, and they think that, oh, because I believe in God, I acknowledge His existence, therefore I must be okay. We need to be more careful than that, because even the devil, we're told in James 2, verse 19, believes. Now, it's, again, good to believe in God, but it does a person no good to believe in God and do nothing about his faith. What are we doing about our belief in God? The devil believes in God, but his faith does him no good. Whether in terms of what he does now, or in terms of where he is going in the end, his faith does him no good. But secondly, some think that they are better than the devil because they go beyond their belief in God. They actually fear God or respect God. Well, again, that's no good because, as we read in James 2, verse 19, the demons fear God and His power over them and even tremble, though they do not obey Him. And yet many who say they fear God, well, they really don't show it. If we measured their fear of God by their behavior, we would have to conclude that they do not fear, that is, respect God very much. Why is that? Well, because their fear of God is simply a show or a pretense. In Titus 1, verse 16, it says, they profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny Him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. So they say, oh, they know God. They might even claim to fear God. But then they contradict that by the way that they behave. They have so little respect for God that they make little, if any, effort to learn from the Bible what He wants them to do and then try to do it. Thirdly, some think they are better than the devil because they show an outward respect for God. And yet the devil is capable of this much. Why? Because he's a hypocrite. We learn about his hypocrisy as Paul describes it in 2 Corinthians the 11th chapter. Let's actually start with verse 14 there as it describes Satan and his agents. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their deeds. You can't judge a person merely by the way he looks on the outside, by some sort of show of piety, because he might be a hypocrite. The devil is a hypocrite. He can dress himself up to look like a very fine Christian, you might say. Now, those who claim to believe in and respect God can do that much, but they often do no better than that, as a matter of fact. We have the Pharisees, for instance, described by Jesus, Matthew 23, verses 27 and 28, has Jesus here in describing the Pharisees. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you too outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Now, the thing about people like this is that eventually their inward wickedness comes out and is exposed. They pretend to be Christ's disciples for a while by putting on an outward display as such, but they are hypocrites. For what they are on the inside and in private is different from what they are outwardly and publicly. Furthermore, Jesus, describing the Pharisees in Matthew 6, verses 2, 5, and 16, uses the same expression there three times, for they have their reward in full. In other words, Their reward consists in the praise and the acknowledgement of the people observing what they're doing. They're not going to get any reward from God. All the reward that they get is going to be confined to this earth in the praise of men. Also, in 2 Timothy 3, verse 5, Paul speaks of the righteousness of some basically as being what he calls a form of godliness. It's just an outward shell that covers much ugliness. If people think that they must be pleasing to God simply by going through the motions, showing some outward respect or regard for God, and that's enough for their salvation, they're going to be disappointed, because that's being no better than the devil. Fourthly, some think that they are better than the devil because they know the Bible so well. But here again, they cannot depend upon that. The devil knows the Scriptures quite well. In Matthew 4, verse 6, in the process of tempting Jesus, he quoted from Scripture from one of the Psalms. He was able to memorize the Scriptures somehow. He knew them. I'm quite confident that I couldn't just pick out a Scripture from the book of Psalms and just quote it from memory to someone, unless it was one that I was quite familiar with. But the devil on this occasion seems to have had that Scripture right on the tip of his tongue. So he was very familiar, it seems, with the Scriptures. And some people might talk about the Bible quite a bit, might depend upon their knowledge of the Bible to give them confidence that they're in the right relationship with God. But that alone does not ensure that. The devil quoted the Bible to its very author, Jesus himself, here in Matthew, the fourth chapter is recorded in verse 6. He even quoted it to make an argument to Jesus. And by doing that, he showed that he believed that the Bible was the authoritative word of God. He knew that it was something that should be respected. So by quoting it, he showed the Bible is the standard that ought to be recognized as the word of God. And he also, in this, correctly implied that those who want to please God will respect the Bible. And yet, this is much more than can be said for many who say they believe in God and the Bible as His Word. They don't really recognize it as the ultimate religious authority. And therefore, they're not even doing what the devil did. Fifthly, some think that they are better than the devil because they know who Jesus is. I know Jesus, implying they think they have a relationship with him. But as we see in Mark, the first chapter, verse 34, it says there that the demons knew who he was. They knew Jesus. At least they were able to identify him. They knew where he was from. And according to Mark 5, verses 6 and 7, we stopped just short of that passage a while ago. But in those verses, we see that the demons even worshipped and confessed him. As a matter of fact, for that reason, it might be worth reading verses 6 and 7 of Mark 5. There it says, "And seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and bowed down before him, and crying out with a loud voice, he said, 'What do I have to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God, do not torment me.'" Now, the expression in the New American Standard that says he ran up and bowed down before him, bowed, is the same word that is typically in the New Testament translated worship. In other words, he recognized Jesus' status. He was able to recognize Jesus' status simply in the sense that he knew who he was. He was able to identify him. Now, this, of course, is not what one would expect from a demon or from the devil, who was the foremost enemy of God and Jesus. Why would a demon make this outrageous confession unless it was something that the demon recognized as being overwhelmingly attested, evident, and true? So, merely going through outward rituals of worship and confession does not make one any better than the devil. Because, as we've seen, the devil can fall down before Jesus. The devil recognizes who Jesus is. The devil can make a confession of the identity of Jesus. The devil can sit in a pew and sing hymns as well as anybody else. The devil can make himself look like an angel of light, as we read a while ago in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verse 14. That worshiping God does not guarantee one's salvation is shown by the fact that Jesus said of the Pharisees in Matthew 15, verse 9, that they worshiped him in vain. Let me make one last point. Some think that they are better than the devil because they believe in hell. And yet, the devil also believes in hell and knows he is doomed to it. In Matthew 8, verse 29, and this is a version of what we read in Mark 5, verse 6, the demon in the Gadarene demoniac said, "Have you come here to torment us before the time?" That implies that he knows he's going to punishment. So the devil and the demons also believe in hell. They know that they are doomed. Hell is prepared, we're told in Matthew 25, verse 41, for the devil and his angels. So the devil will be thrown into the lake of fire where he will be tormented day and night forever and ever, according to Revelation 20, verse 10. Now, hell is sometimes thought of as the dark realm of the underworld where the devil likes to live while he is awaiting the souls of those who will come there. But that's a misunderstanding. For the holidays, my wife and I were sent a calendar, and each day consists of a Gary Larson Far Side cartoon. And every once in a while, and it really displeases me and bothers me to see that this is the case, Gary Larson would put in a joke about the devil and hell. And I'll tell my wife, and she will agree, you know, I don't like that. It makes light of hell and the devil. Because it will picture in the cartoon people there suffering, and the devil as if he is the ruler of hell, in charge of hell, not suffering with them, but somehow ruling over hell. And it misrepresents the situation, because the devil is going to be tormented in hell, along with all other evildoers. It takes more than simply believing in hell and even fearing to go there to make a person better than the devil. We want to obey God not simply out of fear of hell, because 1 John 4, verse 18, we're told that perfect love casts out fear. We want to do what God says because we love Him, not simply out of fear of going to hell. In conclusion, then, if we're going to set standards, and this is what people sometimes do when they want to make themselves look good for a standard or model by which to judge themselves, they pick out people that they know are worse than them. Well, I'm doing better than he is. And in some cases, it might even be that people are comparing themselves to the devil. Well, I'm better than the devil. Well, are we really? We need to ask ourselves that. In some respects, some people are no better than the devil. They have not set their sights any higher than that. Let's do better than the devil does. As a matter of fact, if we're going to look for some higher standard to compare ourselves to measure ourselves by, let's look at Jesus Christ. Not the devil as our standard. As a matter of fact, that's exactly what Paul encourages us to do in passages such as Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 15, where Paul says, "But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ." So He is our standard. Let's ask ourselves, if we want to know how we're doing, not simply, well, am I doing better than the devil? Yes, I'm doing better than the devil. We've got to set our sights and our standards higher than that. So if anyone wants to be better than the devil, then he will not only believe the gospel, but he will obey it, initially in baptism, and thereafter walk faithfully in the Spirit according to the directions of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God until his earthly life is ended. And thus he'll be saved from the hellfire I described just a moment ago. It may be that there is someone here today as a result of something I've said or something that has been said to him or her in the recent past or even in the distant past who wants to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. you can leave this place without the fear of hell in your heart. You can leave this place having done better than the devil has done. Come forward in faith and in repentance to confess before us the fact that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God, and be immersed, baptized in a body of water with the blood of Christ, and I cleanse you of your sins. If you've done that at some point in the past, but since then have slipped away, perhaps because you've not set your sights beyond the standards of the devil, and you want to come forward and let us know that you're sorry for that and be put right with God and His people by confession of your sins here before us today. If that is the case with you, won't you come forward as for your encouragement, we now stand and sing.